Hello, everyone. Hope you are all doing well today. You're listening to Mental Health Matters on the Jefferson Exchange with Jefferson Public Radio in NAMI, Southern Oregon. I'm Andra Hollenbeck with NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, Southern Oregon. And when we talk about health, we cannot discuss complete health without talking about our mental health. On this program, we highlight mental health issues in our communities and ways we can improve mental health for everyone. Today, we're discussing accessing critical mental health resources for youth and the struggles of one foster family to navigate the mental health system. Andy Neal is a film director and foster parent who found himself seeking mental health services for his foster children, leading him to become an advocate for better mental health services in Oregon. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate this.
Well, thanks for being on the program. So let's start by just having you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to be a mental health advocate.
My wife and I, we adopted three kids from foster care 11 years ago. It was pretty apparent that our oldest two, who are full biological siblings, they had suffered every type of abuse and neglect you can think of before they came into our care.
Right.
And within a few months of them being in our home, it was clear that they needed some very, very deep stuff going on. Not everything was told to us by the foster care system. To be fair, I don't think they knew everything.
That's true.
And so for the last 11 years, we have been trying to get them both the services and diagnosis they need to access care here in Oregon. Unfortunately, Oregon's mental health care system, according to Mental Health America, as reported on by the Oregonian, ranks dead last when it comes to services for children and teens.
Yep.
This is not a secret. PBS NewsHour reported on this as well. It's well known.
Yep. You can
and
find that online.
It's online. It's there. We're number 51.
I know.
And so, but especially the last 6 years, as our children have gotten into adolescence, the behaviors have not just been concerning, they've been scary, violent, running away, things of that nature. And trying to get the proper diagnosis has been nearly impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do they have this tremendous amount of trauma they've dealt with from abuse and neglect. I do not exaggerate. People are like, oh, you're exaggerating. I don't exaggerate. They were abused and neglected in every way you can think of before they came into our care. But there's also neurodivergence that we had discovered. They had seven other biological siblings in their home. There was a lot of other mental health issues. But the problem is in Oregon and in a lot of other states, there's something called comorbidity. So it's like, oh, they're showing these things. It must be because of the trauma. So we aren't able to get a diagnosis.
So they just associate it with the trauma instead of looking at what might be an inherent issue, which the trauma could trigger.
If
somebody has
exemplifies.
That.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And essentially, we just kept fighting and fighting. And I have a large following on social media. I actually went viral doing a video called Going for a Stupid Hike for Your Stupid Mental Health. It was a funny thing. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll do this. I've really embraced therapy for myself, my own past, and having a parent, two kids who've dealt with trauma, who I've seen some very violent behaviors from them, very scary things that I can't talk about on air because it's like it's too traumatic.
Sure.
And so I've really been working on my own mental health. I see a therapist here in Ashland. And I'm like, you know what? People need to know that it's okay to not be okay. You need to break the stigma. But also, there's the issue that there's just, like, for me to find a regular therapist in Southern Oregon, it took me 6 months to find ones that had opening and took my insurance.
Right. So let's talk about that moment for a second. There was a time when you said, whoa, there's something going on here. Was there a precipitating event or it was just kind of accumulation? And you said, we have to start finding resources. And then you started that process.
I think for us, when our children got to 10, 11, 12, there became some self-harm ideations beyond that. And running away for no apparent reason.
And that's often the case with youth. For the young people, that's often the time that, like, just pre-adolescence when some of that stuff starts really
And it really started getting scary.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've been told everything. You need to parent better. You know, you need to, you know.
Put up a star chart.
Before I do what I do now, I worked as a mentor and in different nonprofits I was a youth pastor for several years.
Yeah.
My wife has a master's and bachelor's degree in education. She's a teacher. So we are informed parents. We're trauma informed.
Yep.
We've taken all the classes. We've taken college classes. We know what we're doing. I have two bachelor's degrees. Like, we're educated. We are really engaging. And then be told by the system, oh, you're just not parenting enough. Oh, you're not being trauma informed. I'm like, no, we could teach a class on what it means to be trauma informed. It's incredibly frustrating and constantly being gaslit by the system, mm-hmm. trying to get our kids for the last almost 12 years now, the services they so desperately need and just keep hitting wall after wall after wall.
Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask, what would you say are the main issues as caregivers in searching for help? It sounds like one of them was having a system that downplayed or diminished what you were going through. That sounds like one of the issues, but was there an issue with navigating the system in terms of like knowing where to start?
Absolutely. The system is extremely complex. There are different organizations and departments and agencies to go through between, you know, Department of Human Services, Oregon Health Authority, the hospital system.
Doesn't necessarily connect with the other systems.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I'm advocating for our governors, to make all these different parties come together and work together, because they're constantly fighting each other and they're constantly blame shifting. Uh-huh. They're constantly saying, oh, that's not our problem, that's DHS's problem. The hospital's saying, oh, that's not our problem, that's the Oregon Health Authority problem. Yeah. And it's going this back and forth, back and forth. There are good people within these systems.
Yeah, trying to do their best. I know, we've met some.
So many of them, though, they end up just throwing their hands up and going into private practice because it's impossible.
Or they compartmentalize and say, this is the policy. We can't do this because it's outside the policy.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then that's where advocacy and, legislative act and policy actions need to be addressed. So given that you've gone through this, what is some advice that you might give if someone is seeing that their youth seems to be beyond the normal struggles? I mean, kids struggle. I mean, just the baseline for kids today is really, it's really tough. It's a tough kind of world out there. And there's regular anxiety, depression is really high amongst youth now, just in general. But if someone notices that there's something a little bit more than just your normal run-of-the-mill kind of childhood disruptions, from your own experience, how would you advise them to approach the system or where to go?
First of all, don't wait. I think what mistake my wife and I made, because we were so trauma-informed, we literally were speaking at foster parent events put on by DHS here in Southern Oregon, teaching other parents how to deal with these things. Yeah. So we thought, oh, we got this. We're good. Right. Don't wait.
Yeah.
Even if, you know, maybe you're jumping the gun a little bit, mm-hmm. it's better to have those services in place and established as quickly as possible.
And check it out. Because it can take time.
It takes so much time.
Then the diagnosis is meandering. It's really hard. I know that it's difficult, and they hesitate diagnosing children.
Yes, they do.
For probably legitimate reasons.
Yeah, because those diagnoses stick with them for the rest of their lives. Yeah. So I understand
And they don't want to get it wrong either.
Exactly.
Because things change over time. But it is difficult. I get that. So don't wait. That's the first thing. Anything else?
Be an advocate for your child. Mm-hmm. Be an advocate, even if your child doesn't want to be. Our mm-hmm. almost 17-year-old doesn't want us in their life, but we keep fighting. I just got out of a meeting, like literally down there on the bench outside the building here. Very frustrating meeting, trying to get our child the services they need, and they're saying your daughter doesn't want to engage with you, and it's like, oh, it's so infuriating. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the answer they're giving us, something I've really pushed against, is we can get them the services, but you're going to have to relinquish your rights as parents to DHS, which no parent should ever have to. A loving, caring parent who has fought for 12 years for their child should never have to give up their parental rights in order for them to receive the care they so desperately need. So be an advocate for your child. Look for things early, and honestly, find a community. It's extremely lonely.
Yeah.
Doing this is extremely lonely work. It takes a toll on your own mental health, not just from the fight, but from the things you're having to go through with your kids, the traumatic things you see and you witness, which I can't speak about on air, but it's just like you need a community. You need to get yourself into some sort of therapeutic setting where you can process through these feelings, these emotions, these traumatic events.
Yeah, that's good. So everyone, you're listening to Mental Health Matters on Jefferson Exchange. I'm Andra Hollenbeck of NAMI Southern Oregon, speaking with Andy Neal, filmmaker and mental health advocate. And I'll just mention that NAMI is one of those communities, and we do have a support group that meets here in Ashland. We have a class for people who have adults, 18 and over, a family member. It's a class that's starting here in Ashland in January. We also have a class called Basics, which is a class specifically for parents who have children with either emotional disturbance or behavioral issues, because kids are difficult to diagnose. But that's part of the class, as we talk about that difficulty with diagnosis and how to manage that thing, because that is something difficult to deal with. So have you found some good mental health resources for youth in our area in this journey that you've had? Have you found any that have been particularly helpful?
No.
Oh, okay.
There are individuals within the system. Mm-hmm. We have a care coordinator who has been with his organization since we've started, mm-hmm. which is rare to see.
Yeah.
Especially in Southern Oregon and Oregon in general. It's the individuals who have been very helpful, who have...
Within the organizations
who know their limitations and know, okay, we need to wait this out. Those people have been the most helpful.
Yeah.
As far as specific organizations, we've had to engage Senator Golden to get our services for our children. Mm-hmm. And he's done an amazing job getting us to the right people, right places. He's engaged with me and his office has engaged with me. And there's legislation being drafted right now to further... deal with these issues mm-hmm. here
yep.
in Oregon.
Yep. Things up
but yeah, don't be afraid to engage lawmakers because this is a systemic issue.
Yeah, and they need to know about it.
They need to know about it. And a lot of these organizations, their hands are tied. And a lot of these organizations that do the mental health services for foster youth and adopted youth are for-profit organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have responsibility to a bottom line. So they might be discharging or not getting the services you need mm-hmm. because they're thinking about the dollar. They're not thinking about your kid.
Yeah.
It's an unfortunate reality we live in.
Now, do you deal mostly with the Oregon Health Plan? Is that the
yes?
Or, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because there's private insurance too, but that's sometimes problematic in terms
yeah.
of getting. They were supposed to be mental health parity in our
yeah.
state, but.
Well, what's one thing is about Oregon Health Plan is I've heard from other parents in the state. I get messages every day, because they have private insurance, they're not able to access. A lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's this flip side. It's like you have
yeah.
Oregon Health Plan, the things over here, but people who have really good private insurance, there's all these programs, things they can't access.
That they can't access, yeah.
Or
and then it's hard to find the private
yeah.
Services that do offer that.
So they're having to go out of state, pay
yeah.
tens of thousands of dollars. It's ridiculous.
Well, I will mention Charlie Health is a really good resource. It's online. It's an online resource that serves all youth between 10 and 30 years old. It's a really good resource for youth who have a difficult accessing. They have all kinds of good services. Jackson Care Connect has just put in a new website called What the Help. And it has...
seen that, yes.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So it's a good place to start. It doesn't have everything. And then, of course, Kairos is our local public health. But again, that's an Oregon Health Plan.
Yeah, yeah. And I will say the insurance has actually... We go through Oregon Health Plan, Jackson Care Connect. They've been amazing.
Yeah.
Whatever we've said, we need this, like, okay, we support you, we'll pay for it. It's just getting approval and accessing.
Right, right.
Getting payments never been an issue.
Yeah.
Oregon Health Plan or the different subsidiaries like Jackson Care Connect or...
That's good to hear.
Or Care Oregon have all been great.
Okay.
It's the fact that it's just a lack of services, a lack of practitioners.
The lack of stuff that's there.
It's just not there.
Yeah, yeah. I know that the practitioner's been a hard one to deal with. So I want to talk a little bit. We have run out of time, but I want you to tell a little bit about your public awareness campaign
yes.
that you have going on and your hiking for mental health.
Yeah, so
take a stupid hike.
I went viral 2 years ago going for a stupid hike for my stupid mental health. It literally changed my life. What I do now is I make videos online, work with companies where I hike and talk about mental health, and I work with brands. And so this summer, I am hiking the Oregon section of the Pacific Crest Trail to raise awareness for the mental health care emergency for children and teens in Oregon. And we are actually making a documentary about it, too. I have a local producer who many people know attached to help with it as well.
Nice.
And I'm going to be hiking the Pacific Crest Trail. And when I get the Cascade Locks, the Oregon-Washington border, I'm going to stay there for a few days and then walk from Cascade Locks to Salem. I'm asking Governor Tina Kotek to meet me there, and we can have a discussion about the mental health crisis here in Oregon, because we need a mental health care state of emergency in
yeah.
Oregon, like she's done with the opioid crisis and she's done with the unhoused crisis
uh-huh.
as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's right. It's right up there.
Yep.
It's right up there. Well, and I love the way that you talked about how you understood that when this happens in a family, it's traumatic for everyone. It's traumatic for you, and that we have to deal with our own trauma and our own mental health and self-care. And you've done that through your hiking. So really, really appreciate that. It sounds like your hopes and aspirations is that there will be a bigger focus on mental health services and getting more practitioners, getting more services so that we can really address this concern.
Yeah, absolutely. We, even with this new budget, it's a third of what Oregon needs, new budget the governor proposed. And so we need to make drastic measures, because so many of the systemic issues we're dealing with, like the opioid crisis, like the homelessness crisis, stem from mental health. And a lot of these people have been dealing with mental health issues at a young age. So we need to deal with it now
yeah.
and get us out of 51st place.
Yes.
Like, let's do it. Let's
put somebody else on the bottom. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. Please find more information about NAMI Southern Oregon at our website, namisouthernoregon.org, or email us at info@namisouthernoregon.org. We have support group classes and advocacy opportunities in our community. This is Mental Health Matters on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Andra Hollenbeck, and I thank you for joining us today. You can find this and other interviews at thejeffexchange.org or subscribe to this podcast at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.